Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting this evening. While everybody's getting settled, let's sing number 7. Number 7 on the hymn sheet. Gracious, loving God and our Father, we ask for thy help this evening as we open thy precious word and read about thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our God and our Father, that thou hast given him as the only Savior of sinners. And so as we preach the gospel this evening, we pray, our God and our Father, for open ears, listening ears, that we would receive what thou dost have for us. We pray for help, that what is said would be to the honor and glory of thy beloved Son, and to the salvation of souls. And now we just ask for thy help. We pray this all in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, I want to try something that I have not tried before. In a gospel meeting. But it's something that I heard when I was a teenager. And it really struck my heart. And so I want to share that with you this evening. And what I want to do this evening, if I can here with the help of the Lord, I would like to paint with words two different portraits. The first portrait is natural man. It's a picture of you and of me, how we stand before God. And I want to contrast that this evening with a portrait of the perfect man, the man Christ Jesus. And so I would like to turn to begin to Romans chapter 1. Because in the beginning of Romans here in chapter 1, we have quite a picture. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 paints a picture of your heart and of my heart. I ask you to listen as I'm going to read some verses here. We're going to start with verse 18 of chapter 1 of Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change that natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward the another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves a recompense of the error which was meet. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient unto parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, impeccable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. My friend, this evening, that is the accurate description of your heart and mine. God says so. It's a terrible description. It's completely black. But it's an accurate description. And if you doubt me, look across the United States of America. Look across this world. Pick up any newspaper. Turn on any news channel and you will find the very things that are written in this chapter are glorified. Go to any movie theater in this nation and you'll find people taking pleasure in these very things that are written. This is a very, very dark portrait of man. Turn with me to chapter 3. Verse 10. As it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Dear one, tonight, the first point that I want to make to your heart and to mine is that this portrait that we have painted is a portrait of you and me, apart from God. We have all fallen short of God. Thankfully, that's not the end of the story. And I want to paint a picture that stands in stark contrast to the picture that we have just painted with words. I want to paint, if I might, with the Lord's help, I want to paint a picture of the perfect man. And in doing so, I want to turn, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have four verses that paint a beautiful picture. I want to read these verses. In the King James Version, the word charity is used for the word love. So, if you'll bear with me, I'm going to use the word love in this first time reading this. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. When I was about 15, 16 years old, I came across a poem. And the poet in this poem used these four verses. And he changed it just slightly. And he wrote it this way. The Lord Jesus suffered long. The Lord Jesus is kind. He envied not. The Lord Jesus vaunted not himself. He was not puffed up. He did not behave himself unseemly. He did not seek his own. He was not easily provoked. He thought no evil. He did not rejoice in iniquity, but he always rejoiced in the truth. He bore all things. He believed all things. He hoped all things. He endured all things. The Lord Jesus never fails. Recently, in our reading meetings at home, we had this chapter and I was reminded of that poem. And so with the Lord's help, I want to look into these 16 things that love does. And I want to look into the life of the Lord Jesus and see how beautifully they are illustrated in the life of our Savior. And I hope and my prayer tonight is that your heart will be drawn to this blessed, perfect man. And that you will see the wonderful contrast between what your heart is naturally and who He is. And that in doing so, that you will receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 2. And dear one, tonight I'm going to turn to an awful lot of verses. I want to encourage you to listen. If you want any of these references, I'd be happy to share them after this meeting. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. We're going to read verse 3. And thinkest thou, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, or the forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Dear one, tonight, we had it earlier today. Why has God tarried so long? Because it is that the Lord Jesus is a long-suffering God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting for you, dear one, tonight, if you have not received Him. He wants you to be saved, to pass into bliss, and to be saved from a lost eternity. The Lord Jesus has suffered long with this world that hung Him on the cross and condemned Him when He was the only just man. Is there anyone who has suffered as long as the Lord Jesus? I think not. The Lord Jesus suffers long. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, what a wonderful Savior, that He is suffering long for you and for me. Titus. Because of time, I'm going to move as rapidly as possible. Titus chapter 3. We'll read from verse 3. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, what kindness. Dear one, tonight, have you experienced the kindness of God our Savior? He went to Calvary's cross for you and for me. Is there any kindness that can be compared to that? He bore God's wrath against sin for you and for me. The kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. Oh, what wonderful kindness. Kindness that we really cannot comprehend. And those of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we're going to spend eternity learning about that kindness and love of God our Savior. Some of these attributes, I had to use the inverse. And so, we never read of the Lord Jesus being envious of anyone. And in looking into it a little more deeply, I think it means goodwill. The opposite of envy would be goodwill. Luke chapter 2. This was on the occasion of the birth of our Savior. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The Lord Jesus, as He came into this earth, came for the express purpose of bringing goodwill toward men. Who else, as they have been born, can anyone say that they came for the express purpose of bringing goodwill toward men? No one. No one but the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. He came and He was born into this earth as the Savior of sinners. Do you know Him this evening? Have you received that goodwill that He has towards you? He came and laid down His life so that we could be spared from the penalty of our sins. The next one is, vaunteth not Himself. Again, the opposite of that is humility. The next two I want to cover in the same portion. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read from the end of verse 5. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Dear one, tonight, there was never a man that walked upon this earth that humbled himself more than our blessed Savior. He humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. In this great nation that we live in, part of our Constitution makes it illegal to offer cruel and unusual punishment. And I can guarantee you one thing tonight, we don't know anything about cruel and unusual punishment. Crucifixion is the most awful way that a person can die. For Him to humble Himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, is something that we will never rightly understand. Very God, come into this world. We won't turn to it, but in another place it says He held everything by the word of His power, even while He was on that cross. All things have their being because of Him. And yet He was willing to go to the cross for you and for me. In another place it said He could call 12 legions of angels. Sometimes we sing about that. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. But instead, He went to the cross for you and for me. What love. He's also not puffed up. In Him was no pride. The meekest man that ever walked this earth. And so earlier in this very passage, it says, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Dear one, tonight, I know I cannot wrap my brain around the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world. The Son of God became a man. And He came and He walked this earth as a perfect servant. He walked upon this earth doing good, healing all who came to Him. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. There is no man like this man, the man Christ Jesus. He was not puffed up. Doth not behave Himself unseemly. I think the opposite of that is goodness. Romans, turn back to Romans chapter 2. We've already read this verse. I don't want to go back to it. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Dear one, tonight, have you found a place of repentance for your sins before a holy, righteous God? It is His goodness that draws you to repentance. And there was no one. There was no one that ever walked this earth like the Lord Jesus. Perfectly did His Father's will. He would reach out His hand and He would touch the leper. The one who never thought of himself. It says of him that he had nowhere to lay his head. Never thought of himself. His goodness was wonderful. Have you experienced that goodness, dear one, tonight? You can by simply receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. Seeketh not His own. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Lord Jesus came into this world to seek you, dear one, tonight. He's calling for you. Will you listen? Will you receive His offer of salvation? Or will you reject it? He didn't seek His own. He came seeking you. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Oh, what a beautiful, perfect man. Dear one tonight, do you know anyone in this world that isn't selfish? I can tell you I've never met someone who is not partially selfish. And yet the Lord Jesus, in His perfection, could say, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. What a wonderful, blessed Savior. He came to seek and to save the lost. Dear one, all you have to do to be sought for by Him is take your position as being lost. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. The next attribute is not easily provoked. Matthew chapter 27. This is the story of the Lord Jesus as He stood before Pontius Pilate. Verse 12, and when He was accused of the chief priests and elders, He answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto Him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. This was in the middle of a false trial, if there ever was a false trial. And these false witnesses were brought. And said all manner of evil against the Lord Jesus. And yet in His perfection, He answered never a word. How many of us will lay on the horn when somebody cuts us off? Or at least shake our fist? Here, the Lord Jesus is the perfect man. As He was falsely accused, He never answered a word. Insomuch that Pilate marveled greatly. Oh, what a beautiful, perfect man. Such evenness of character. We won't turn there. But as the Roman soldiers were nailing His hands and His feet to that cross, what was His response? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, He was not easily provoked. What a wonderful, beautiful man. Thinketh no evil. 1 John First John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, and just the last part of verse 5. In Him is no sin. Second Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. For He hath made Him, the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. The Apostle John was the disciple that was closest to the Lord Jesus. And his testimony was, in Him is no sin. The Apostle Paul said he knew no sin. Absolutely perfect. How many of us have had an evil thought? How many of us have sinned? The thought of foolishness is sin. Oh, that smites us all. The Lord Jesus was absolutely perfect. He came into this world, and the world knew Him not. But He came to save sinners. What perfection. Psalms chapter 40. The next one is, He rejoiced not in iniquity. I don't want to turn that around. So what did He rejoice in? Psalms chapter 40 and verse 8. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. He delighted in doing the Father's will. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 30. Then was I by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing alway before Him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Oh, what a wonderful, beautiful Savior. His delight, His rejoicing was to do the Father's will and in us. What a wonderful, amazing Savior. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, we'll read from verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the chargers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said to them that sold doves, Take these things hence, and make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. He did not rejoice in iniquity. chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 34. And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. That's what the Lord Jesus rejoiced in. He rejoiced in the truth. He rejoiced in being obedient to his Father. John chapter 19. The next one is beareth all things. John chapter 19 and verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and smote him with their hands. Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Verse 25. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge and with vinegar, and put it upon a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Dear one, truly, no one bore more than the Lord Jesus. He bore the hatred of man against himself. As those Roman soldiers platted that crown of thorns and drove it into his brow, plucked the hair from his face. As the Jews spat on him, and then as he hung on that cross, in those 3 hours of darkness, he bore the penalty of your sin and mine. Surely there was no one that bore more than the Lord Jesus. Just about out of time. Luke chapter 22. Verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was entered, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. our blessed Savior, as He prayed in the garden. He knew what it was going to cost Him to be made sin for you and me. And yet, wonder of wonders, He fully believed what God, His Father, told Him to do. That in doing so, He would secure a bride to Himself. Oh, dear one, tonight, there is no example that I can think of stronger belief than for a holy, righteous, spotless Son of God to be willing to go to the cross so that He could secure your redemption and mine. Do you know Him as your Savior? We won't take the time to turn to Psalms chapter 22, but if we did, we would read of the Lord Jesus that He hoped upon His mother's breast in God. What a wonderful, perfect man. As He approached the cross, He endured more than you and I will ever consider. He endured God's wrath against sin for you and for me. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. The last one is the Lord Jesus never fails. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 5, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. John chapter 10. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Dear one, do you have eternal life? We trust and we pray that you have eternal life. Eternal life is being offered by the Lord Jesus if you will simply accept Him as your loving Savior. And you will find that He will never, never fail. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving God and our Father, what a contrast we've had before our hearts this evening. The utter ruin of Thy creature man and the perfection of Thy beloved Son. We pray, our God and our Father, that if there is anyone in this room that has not closed in on that offer of salvation, that they would do so before it is forever too late. We thank Thee for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee that He is the only Savior of sinners. We thank Thee for the salvation that He offers freely to all. We pray this in His worthy and precious name. Amen.